Would you like to have true riches? We're going to tell you how in this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today because we're in the middle of a series that I'm personally very excited about. The reason I'm excited, well, I'm excited about all of our series, but this one in particular because it's based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. Sean and Bob invited me to come into the studio and discuss this book with them, so that's what this series is about. Let's go right to our discussion on riches. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're in the studio with Lucas Kitchen, author of a new book called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. And we've been going through his book. It's all about a major biblical theme that is majorly underdeveloped. People don't talk about this. Even churches that are supposed to believe in it don't talk about it enough. We made the argument that eternal rewards appears on virtually every page of the New Testament.
Right.
And probably you can go 20, 30 years without ever hearing a sermon on eternal rewards. Wouldn't you agree, Lucas, that this is a key to Christian discipleship?
I think it is. I think it's one of the greatest motivators that I'm aware of. In fact, I'm reminded of what a friend once told me. He was trying to overcome a particular sin that he had been wrestling with for years. He was a believer. And he said to himself, why should I try to quit? I know I'm saved. And so over time, that was kind of his take. And then at some point, we met each other and we began to talk about eternal rewards. And he told me later that it was that concept of eternal rewards that finally helped him reach that tipping point where he could finally let go of that sin and mount the battle against it that he really needed to. And so I think eternal rewards are so important. I think one of the things that people want to know is what exactly are the eternal rewards? I mean, we've talked a lot about how it motivates. We've talked a lot about how we should feel the effects of eternal rewards motivating us. But a lot of people want to know, what are the eternal rewards? I mean, what exactly do they consist of? And in this book, what I've done is divide the eternal rewards into six separate categories. And here are the categories that I see in Scripture. There is going to be the reward of riches, the reward of rights, the reward of recognition, the reward of regalia, the reward of royalty, and the reward of relationship. Now, many of these overlap each other. They're not all necessarily separate. And in fact, some of the rewards that we see in Scripture fill up more than one category here. But ultimately, what we're talking about in this episode is the reward of riches. We see it through Scripture a number of times. Jesus uses the word riches to talk about the reward that we will have in the kingdom. And so one of the questions I'd like to just pose to you guys, because I know there's different opinions on this, will there be money? Will there be that type of riches in the kingdom? What do you guys think?
Well, that really ties into what you think the afterlife is going to be like, right?
That's a good point.
And our view is we are strict premillennialists. We are dispensational premillennialists. We take the prophecies of Scripture literally, or as literally as they're meant to be taken. And we believe that Jesus is coming with a literal kingdom on this earth, and we're basically going to pick up where humanity left off in the garden. God created a physical humanity on a physical earth, and we're supposed to rule over a physical earth forever and ever and ever. Then we got sidetracked with the fall, and God is trying to bring us back to that original vision where we're going to rule in a real kingdom. And guess what? I think real kingdoms need real economies.
Well, that's a good point. Obviously, Israel had an economy. Israel had money. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, right? And he's giving them a denarius, a coin, or in this case, it was a lesser coin than a denarius. But the point is, yeah, I think there's going to be an economy. And in fact, in Matthew 6, verse 19, don't lay up treasure on earth. The word treasure is the Greek word thesaurus. And we get the word thesaurus for a treasury of words.
Oh, you're not
right?
Joking. Are you really?
No,
you're
it really
serious.
Is thesaurus,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And notice what he says after it. Don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in or steal. Is he talking about something ethereal there or something physical?
Let me just point this out. God is the author of economic laws in the Bible.
Right. Mm.
God wrote economic laws. He wrote financial laws about how to deal with money and how to conduct business. He's concerned about that. So why wouldn't there be those things in eternity?
And besides, if we use our finances in this life to glorify God, in other words, we're to give money to our local church, we're to give our money to help brothers and sisters. James chapter 2, if you see a brother or sister in need and you say to them, peace out, but you don't give them anything, what good is that? Yeah. If we're to use money now to the glory of God, why wouldn't we use money in the millennial and eternal state to glorify God?
All right, well, that's from a skeptic's point of view. It's all fine and well to speculate about this, but are there any verses that would really indicate this is what it's going to be like?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sean. I have a few in the book. You mentioned prophecy. There's actually a couple of prophecies that lend themselves to this. One comes in Deuteronomy 15:6. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And so what I want you to listen for is, has this happened yet? Notice what this says. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. Has that happened with Israel yet? I would say maybe Israel has lended. Maybe Israel has had times when it didn't borrow, but Israel has not ruled over many nations, at least not yet. So this has got to be talking about a future era, which we would say is the kingdom era. So notice what it says, though. It says that there will be borrowing. And what that says to me is there seems like there will be in the kingdom a banking system. I think it lends itself to saying that, yes, there will be an economy.
Right, and the translators didn't translate thesaurus as treasure because they had some bias. They translated it as treasure because that's what the word means. Treasure suggests some sort of valuable possession. Now, it might not be cash. Paper money, in my opinion, is worthless. I think gold and silver is biblical currency. And so I expect that in the kingdom there will be gold and silver, but it might be precious stones, you know, diamonds or something like that. But whatever it is, it can be used in commerce.
Here's another in Isaiah 61. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. And you will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast.
Wow.
What that seems like it's telling
us. And that's future.
That's future. That's in the kingdom.
So
what it says
there's going to be nations.
There's going to be nations.
Real nations.
And they will have wealth.
Areas, and they're bringing in money to the kingdom. What is that exactly? They're bringing money to Jerusalem, to Israel? What is it?
Well, you have in Revelation 21:24, it says, the kings of the earth will bring their tribute to him in the New Jerusalem every year. And it seems to me what happened with the wise men where they brought these gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which were all forms of some sort of valuable.
Right.
Just like, remember, when David was king and when Solomon was king, the other kings in the region would bring tribute to them in
right.
the form of gold and silver and other things.
Right. I don't know if this is pertinent or not, but gold and silver are mediums of exchange. They just make exchanges easier. So if I have shoes and I want your eggs, but you don't want my shoes, that's why people invented money. So I don't have to give you a shoe. I can just give you a medium of exchange, gold or silver.
Right.
And that just makes exchanges go easier. So it makes sense that if there are going to be exchanges, if we're going to be ruling, if we're going to be exercising gifts, we're going to have some type of medium of exchange in the kingdom. And so we need wealth.
Yeah. Do you have any others, Luke?
Yeah, Luke 12:33. Let's go to the New Testament. This is kind of an interesting one. He says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Now, that feels really similar to what we see in, say, Matthew 6, where it talks about moth. You know, it could be stolen by a thief, which are very practical things, by the way. And it doesn't say that it doesn't exist and that's why moths can't get to it. He's basically saying there ain't moths in heaven, man. It's not going to be an issue. And there's not thieves in heaven. Maybe there's moths in heaven. I don't know that part. But there's not thieves in heaven.
But they're not eating your gold.
They're not eating your gold, yeah. But what he says there is he compares your money bag here with your money bag there. Now, if he was going from one, if he was using a metaphor and saying, I'm going to talk about practical physical money in this sense, but now I'm going to transition to something that is not tangible and doesn't exist, it seems like he would have told us that. What he does is he says, I'm going to compare money in the here and now with the economy system there. And it may not be exact, but there is some transference, it seems, between those two. And so my take, bizarre for a lot of people, my take is when Jesus talks about storing up treasure in heaven or in the kingdom to come, there is some physical treasure that will be there. In the book, I actually quote you, Bob, a video series we did a number of years ago talking about that economy. And it's not like you're alone in this. In fact, I've got a quote from Bruce Wilkinson who says, there's an economy in heaven, there are cities in heaven, and there are people who lead and people who don't lead, people who are rewarded and people who are not rewarded. And I love that because it lets us know that this is what we ought to expect. There is treasure. Now, there's lots of other reward as well, but treasure seems to literally mean some type of riches.
I think that's exactly right. In this life, a lot of people say there's three basic investments we make, right? Our time, our talent, our treasure. Well, isn't that what we're also going to have during the millennial and then the eternal kingdom? Time, talent, treasure. The idea that somehow God is eliminating treasure doesn't make much sense to me. And I love, Sean, what you said at the beginning. If we see treasure all through Scripture, and if we see God teaching about economy all through Scripture, and if the millennium is going to be an actual kingdom, we're actually going to be on earth and we're actually going to be part of a kingdom where nations are going to exist and they're going to come and be bringing gifts to Jesus, it makes a lot of sense there's going to be treasure. Do you make your aim in life to be a rich person, or do you make your aim in life to be a rich person in the life to come? God wants us to have lives that are abundant and rich forever. And we will have that if we lay up treasure in heaven, because moth won't destroy it, thieves won't steal it. You can send it on ahead, and it will be there for you forever.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that really fun discussion about riches. I know that if you're like many, this is a little bit new. It's new territory for a lot. And if it is for you, I hope that you'll take advantage of the content that I've written in this book. To get a copy of this book, you can go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And right there on the site, you can click on the button that says store. There, you can get your own copy of Eternal Rewards. It will pay to obey. Now, you'd be really missing out if you don't also take advantage of some of our free resources that we have right there on the site. You can get a free subscription to our magazine, to our blog, to our podcast. We've got all kinds of stuff for free that's designed specifically to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. Hope you'll take advantage of all that and much more. You might even like to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus. And if that's the case, I'd like you to know two things. Your gift would be tax deductible and it would be incredibly appreciated because it helps us to continue the ministry work that we're already doing. Now, you might like to reach out to Bob and Sean. They love to hear from listeners. I'm going to tell you how to do that. You can email the team at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Send us a message and let us know what you think about the show. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about rights, as in privileges, in heaven. So tune in for that very interesting topic. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep Grace in focus.